Welcome to a Healing Peace Podcast. I'm your host, Kimir Baker, the CEO founder of J Intelligence Networks. That's J Intel. Our podcast is your go-to source for empowerment and holistic well-being. Each episode is dedicated to nurturing a positive mindset, offering strategies to heal and transform the whole person. Join us on this journey to find balance, resilience, and true inner peace. Welcome back. I so hope that you enjoyed our last segment. I always appreciate gleaning from others, and their insight helps me on my transformation journey. For our next segment, it'll be a little different. Normally, I kick off with my wonderful storytelling and letting you guys know what has been going on with me. Yes, I've said numerously, I've been in the telling my business. But I will have to admit, you guys, that our time together is actually quite therapeutic for me. Why is that? Because it gives me the opportunity to put my words together, put my thoughts together, and to share my experiences, giving me the privilege of not being bombarded with shame and guilt, but being able to find hope and a purpose and inspiration through those tough times. So I thank you guys for taking this transformation journey with me. And you know what? As I stated before, this podcast is going to be a little bit different, or this segment, because I had the privilege of sitting down with LaToya Washington from the Broken Vessels podcast. And we had a great time just chit-chatting and getting her the opportunity to know me a little bit better, and all the while throwing out some great tidbits about healing. So for these next two episodes, it's coming directly from that interview. As I stated before, this segment will be different. Normally you get that preemptive storytelling episode and then those wonderful tools and tips. Why is that? Well, I'm always about helping you guys grow and mature in your journey. But this time around, because something is coming up kind of fast, that's kind of sneaking on us, and that's called that holiday season. We're going to shorten this last segment of the year to two episodes, which will be from the Broken Vessels podcast. Before we jump in, please spread the word. Tell your family and friends about this wonderful podcast. Leave us that review. All right, now, let's dive in.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, and welcome to Broken Vessels Podcast. This is your girl, your host, LaToya Washington. So excited to be here with you all. It's already fall, you guys. So sorry about that. It has switched so quickly. I don't even know where summer went. Nor autumn, but fall is here, okay? So I just want to welcome you all on this season 4 of Broken Vessels Podcast, where we focus on transformation and talk about how the Spirit of God, His healing power, His redemptive power, restorative power, and the Holy Spirit that is within us has transformed us. And also, because of that transformation, we are now encouraging, uplifting, and ministering to others. Hubby and I will be having a Walking in Victory virtual summit. You do not want to miss this. We have some phenomenal speakers, because we're going to be focusing on overcoming the spirit of rejection. We truly believe that God wants us to be free, liberated, delivered, and walking in love and acceptance, because He loves us, right? And we're going to talk about that tonight as well. I believe that our dear sister is going to touch on that love and touch on how God will restore us, okay? And so again, that is January 11, 2025. Our guest speakers will be Deesha Henfield, Miss Deborah Smart, and also Nikki Cruz. So you don't want to miss that. Be sure to get your tickets. All right. Ooh, we can breathe, right? We got all that out. So I just want to thank God for this connection by our dear sister, Nikki Cruz. She brought us together and sent a message to me and said, I just want to connect you two. And anybody that knows Nikki Cruz knows that she is such a beautiful, beautiful spirited person who loves to bring one another together with joy and laughter. And she's just an amazing person. So shout out Nikki Cruz. We love you. And she brought us together. And when I say, as soon as me and Kamir were able to connect on the phone and through Zoom, it was such an amazing connection. And she is here tonight, all the way safely inland, all the way from Irving, Texas. Please give a warm, warm applause for Kamir Baker, you all. Yay. One day we're going to have the hand claps. One day. Welcome, Kamir.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited. I know you already mentioned when we get together, we have such a lively conversation. So I'm excited about us talking tonight.
Yes, I'm so excited. And when I say Kamir, it has been given the assignment by our dear Lord, right, to minister to the hearts and souls of the people. And just tell us a little bit about who Kamir is and where you're from.
Sure. I initially grew up in Michigan and found my way through various states throughout time. But one of the things that I share about quite candidly is that I grew up in an abusive environment, which led me on this journey of healing. So I love your topic. Your season is about healing. I've definitely been on that healing journey, learning more about myself and just being able to pull off those layers of wounds to get back to a place of being authentic, being the person that God designed me to be before all of the crazy happened. And so as I've been on this journey, similar to you, God was like, okay, I want you to share and encourage people along their journeys as well. And so I tell people that I tend to tell too much of my personal business. And so I'm like, God, do I really got to share that? Can I say something else? Just naturally growing up and being kind of introverted, but learning how to just have a voice to these issues that we've all or most have the experience, but sometimes choose not to express those.
That's so, you know, you said something that was so powerful. Sometimes, you know, when we've been through so much hurt, it's like we have to then find out who we are and, you know, authentically are again, like who we originally were designed to be, you know, what God has sent us into the earth to be, you know, kind of got tainted by the issues of life or circumstances. So, you know, tell us about that. Was it really difficult or challenging to get to that authentic Kamir and not what was kind of placed on you or out of survival mode or whatnot?
Oh, for sure. And I've mentioned numerously that for probably a couple of decades, I pretty much lived a double life, outwardly looking great, journeying through my career, wanting to excel, being a go-getter, dressing really nice. You know, I had my suits back in the day. I was sharp. And outwardly, when people looked at me, they were like, okay, you working things. How you got things going on? But inwardly, and when I went home, that's when I had to wrestle with being depressed or discouraged or not even being able to engage in a good, healthy relationship because of all those previous experiences. And so having just not very good expectations of human beings. And then in my own trauma, just reliving it and giving it back to other people. And they're like, hey, why are you giving this to me? I deserve this. I'm like, you're right. Yeah. I'm confused just as much as you are. And so it took time for me to realize that I spent more energy living a double life versus spending time to work through the experiences that I've had. And it wasn't until I had a breakdown where it was like, okay, Kimmy, you can't live like this anymore. You can't hide out. You can't be this double person. Like, first, it's not who God intended you to be. And B, you're giving up so much to be that other person. Right. And so he had to have that conversation with me. It's 10 years from now, is this the place you want to be at? 20 years from now, is this the place you want to be at? And I had to decide then, like, no, like, there's more for me to live. There's more for me to have versus what I'm experiencing in this moment. Okay, what does it look like to pursue something different?
You know, I love when you brought up about how your experience, you then started to kind of treat others because of your experience, because of what you went through. And so that's very important as believers to check ourselves. You know, I remember when I had written and studied about the heart and stuff. And so I had learned that the heart has four chambers, right? And so just that one little area you thought God had, you know, fully worked and healed on, God's like, okay, there's another area in you that has some bitterness, that has some hurt, some pain, rejection. But you said something that's so profound is that you were taking it out on people. And sometimes people don't admit that, you know, so I celebrate that courage to say, you know, I was taking it out on people because it was happening to me.
Yeah. Right? And that being your learned behavior, right, that becomes your normal. But in actuality, that's not normal.
Do you feel like you're stuck in a rut and can't seem to move forward? If so, you're not alone. Millions of people struggle with emotional and health challenges every year. However, we believe that everyone deserves to live a happy and fulfilling life, and we are here to help you get there. JINTEL, JINTEL, now offers coaching services. Receive these benefits when you book a session. Increase self-awareness, improve communication skills, increase confidence, reduce stress, and improve relationships. If you're ready to take the next step, please go to jintel.org/services to book a free consultation.
And so you can easily just justify that behavior because that's all you know.
And you justify it. You find reasons to say, you know, but no, this is just me. But you know what? You nasty. Right? Your behavior is nasty. And I mean, that's how we talk to each other. You know, me and my friends, you know, my husband tell me that's nasty. Or I say, honey, you know, that wasn't right. You know, but it's important to have those people around you that are going to be honest with you and, and tell you those hard things and have those, you know, I like what Tim Ross and his close spiritual brothers say, to have those courageous conversations concerning that. Because one thing I really want to encourage those, especially with working with some of the clients that I work with, as well as yourself, you work with countless people, is to not be bitter, but be okay with saying I'm not okay. You know, like right now, I'm not my best self.
Yeah. Yeah. And to realize, too, in that bitter state, it's not meant for you to stay bitter. So sometimes we live our lives saying, okay, well, this is all I know. This is all I have. And in actuality, God's like, no, I want to give you more. I want to give you life to the full. But in order for you to achieve that, you have to let these go and or get the support so you can let these go. And what does that look like?
Yeah. So someone in particular that may be struggling because of their experiences, maybe they went through abuse, physical, emotional, or struggle with trust issues. Because sometimes people may not have experienced, you know, assault per se, sexually or physically, but they've had a situation where their trust was broken. So how can someone whose trust been broken have that support system, or what steps would you encourage them to take so they can heal, so they can have that support system, as you said?
Yeah. One of the things that I talk about a lot is journaling, and I feel like that is a great first step because it gives you the opportunity to have your personal therapy. You get the opportunity to learn how to express yourself, what things really to get re-in-sync to your emotional state and get re-in-sync to those experiences and allowing yourself to finally release them in a healthy way. And after that journaling, because it gives you an opportunity to pinpoint those experiences, it helps you with your language. Then you take that language and you begin to search for safe people. And those safe people can be, well, I was about to say family members, but we all know sometimes that just does not work.
Yes, sometimes it ain't
work. It's been retract day because they know how to put salt to the wound.
Well, bless God, I'm telling you. But we love them. We love them, right? We like that with them too. We probably getting on their nerves too, but.
And even in that context of family, sometimes your best friend is not your safe person. because they may not have the tools to guide you through to a healthy thought process, to a healthy understanding of your experiences. And so I always advocate finding a counselor, a therapist, a social worker. And I know those conversations can be quite taboo, but I mean, you get a whole hour to yourself saying all the things you've always wanted to say, and no one is judging you. So why not take advantage of it? So that's one thing that I really do encourage. But even outside of that professional help in that context, just being more thorough in how you engage with people. For instance, do they allow you to speak? Or are they always cutting you off? Or are they always telling you their business? That's not a safe person. It has to be a give and take. Someone who can bring you back to the foot of the cross, to bring you back to Jesus and be able to see your good. Those are safe people, but those who are always criticizing you, telling you what you should do and what you can't do, that's not a safe person. That's not going to help you get to the transformation place that you want to have. So if a professional person is not in that framework, it may be looking for new relationships outside of the ones that you have currently that can be objective, that can be supportive, that will listen, that will give back and help you to make better decisions as you move forward. So those are my top two.
Right. And it's so important that we watch out for that, because you are correct. If I have I talk about familiarity, how many times familiarity breeds contempt. So this person begins to lose that level of respect when they hear certain things about you or learn that you may be struggling in this particular area. So you might go to that person all the time, but they're not safe, like you said. So, I think prayer is essential in that. God, who can I talk to about this? Godly counsel, wise counsel, because we know there's a difference. There's godly wisdom and, some demonic wisdom and things like that, or these traditions that may not be godly that we have heard family members maybe say that we thought was wisdom, but it wasn't, right? So go ahead.
No, I just want to say I'm grateful that you brought that up, because that's very important. Before I start any relationship, I'm on my knees. Because I've experienced so much, and also I've given out so much. And so I need wisdom. I need guidance. And the only person who's beyond the way that I think is God. So, yes, prayer is essential when you're looking for those relationships that support. And even in your journaling time, like, you can start your journaling with the prayer first to get your heart and emotions in a more centered place. So as you journal, it makes more sense and you can breathe through it versus emotional hysterics. So that prayer kind of levels you out a bit as well. So thank you for saying
that. Well, bless God. But can you bring up these emotional hysterics? Because sometimes, let's be real, we get a little out of whack with our emotions, right? When I was struggling, I thank God for the healing and deliverance from anger, because I have real anger issues. Because a lot of times when we experience certain things, when I got saved, I was very bold and honest with whatever. I would say whatever. But when I got saved, I started thinking more about that other person's feelings. So I was a little bit more restrictive in what I said. But I didn't learn that key role is you can still say things in love, but it be truth, right? And it be honest, and there can be reconciliation. There could be, restoration in that, in spite of how it may have what was said. But I started to get angry because it was like, you're not listening, or you're taking advantage of my silence, or you're taking advantage of how I say different things. And I thank God for growth now that I'm 42, but I remember there was so much anger in that. So it's like you're allowing your emotions to get in the way of what is real.
Sure.
And what's true. So talk about that emotional hysterics in the process of information.
Yes, in an emotional hijacking as well, because your brain holds on to those experiences and it becomes normal, right? And so it goes back to, okay, well, how do I retrain my brain with what is true? Because what happens, what you've expressed, I would consider a lot of that anger came from being triggered and not understanding how to manage those triggers. And so one of the first steps I always recommend for managing the trigger is just breathe. Spending time doing breathing exercises so that you can calm your emotional state down to get to a place where you can start working through what is factual versus what is a previous experience that this situation reminds you of. But if you're not giving yourself a time out to manage that, to calm down a bit, you will stay in that emotional hijacking. And then once you get to that place of, okay, I calm down, as I mentioned previously, taking time out to say, okay, is this situation true in all circumstances? The way that this person engaged with me, is this true in all circumstances? And usually it is not. Then after you do that, identify, okay, why is this making me so mad right now? What is really going on behind the scenes? What is this making me remember that I've attached to this new experience? And so it's pretty much, again, get an adult time out where you're giving yourself the opportunity to reflect and have self-awareness so that you're able to talk yourself through those experiences versus allowing your emotions to hijack you. And one of the things that I learned is, even if I say, okay, I'm going to breathe and I'm going to pause, I'm still acting a fool.
Keep it real.
You know, you're like, right, because it hits such a, it hit a part of your heart that your experience and your brain. And so at that time, you need a distraction. You have to do something to get yourself out of that immediate state. And maybe at that moment, going back through what's factual, you may not have the emotional capacity to do that at that time. So go do something different. Go wash the dishes. Go vacuum. Go make the bed.
Right.
And when you're doing those different activities, it hijacks your brain to think about something else so that you're actually at a better position to deal with what happened.
Right. I encourage people, you know, when they reach out and have some little heated fellowship, I'll say, with a situation, I just tell them, do you have to do that right now? Like, can you table that? Can you say, hey, you know what? Right now, I'm not at the best place, the best space to have this conversation, right? We both seem a little heated right now or whatever. Can we table this? Can we talk about this later? Can we pray, right?
Yes.
Before we even move forward. Right.
Yes.
So it's just like, don't feel pressured that you have to respond, because, you know, one thing that we don't want to leave out of this is also the fruit of the Spirit.
Exactly.
Like, that is why we need the Holy Spirit. That is that is exactly why in those moments, as we're healing, as we're, you know, being transformed daily, we need the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, how has the Holy Spirit helped you, Kamir, through that moment where you wanted to?
Well, it is. That's one of those moments where, you know, God, like, oh, but God, but God. Because I remember one time I was so heated, and because my previous trauma, of some of that was dealing with men and how they interacted with me. And so I was in a situation where an interaction happened with a man that triggered that previous trauma. But he was a spiritual man. That wasn't his intentions, but I couldn't see beyond my previous trauma. And so I was about to act a fool. I came close, but it was interesting because in that moment, I really felt a hand on my shoulder sitting me down. Mm. And I was like, that is nothing but God. Because there wasn't a human being sitting me down, but that's what it felt like to get me to a place where I just needed to calm down. So going back to that fruit of the Spirit and going back to what you already shared, which I don't think we'll say it enough throughout this conversation, is praying. Because even when you're praying, you know, God calms your spirit. Very similar to David when he had that evil spirit, he had to play the music to calm him down. You know, God interjects on our behalf if we're willing to allow him to interject in that way. So, but that was one instance that was real clear. I was about to act a fool. And he was like, sit your butt down.
And
I was like,
oh. Right. And that's why, you know, when you brought up about David and Saul, you know, when I think about that, it is so powerful. Actual visual, we can see visually the Spirit of God in him, because he could have,
When I say he could have took Saul out the game, like, I think people fail to realize that part, right? Like, he could have taken Saul out the game, but he didn't. He honored the anointing on his life. He honored who he was. He looked at him as a father figure, looked at him in this role, and he just, he had to get away from it, but he loved them. He loved him. He definitely did. And so when you bring that up, it reminds me of moments where God's like, is it, don't respond, right? Or we have a tendency to want to react quickly. But who could be affected by that, right? And we've all made mistakes, right? We've all said and done things. But as we continue to mature in the things of God, be mindful. Is this even necessary? Just like Kamir said, evaluate. You know, what is this really even truth right now? Are you getting upset off of what is truth or what you perceive as truth? Right. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. And I, and as you were talking about David and Saul, one of the other things that came to my mind with David and how he interacted with Saul was because he respected God much more than those experiences. And when you were talking about the fruits of the Spirit, it's like sometimes, despite what we are engaging with at the moment, sometimes I need to respect God more, fear him more, that I'm not being led down a path where a couple of hours later I'm begging for forgiveness and I feel like dirt because I went to a place that I shouldn't have. And so if I'm able to allow that gentle whisper, that spirit to lead my spirit in the right way, it does keep me from doing more damaging things. And I know for myself, even as a young Christian, there was things where I was like, I just don't want to have to confess this later. So I think I just need to just get it together because I really don't want to have to tell somebody I did this. And so that helped too. It gave me a sense of just fear and reverence because I knew that after a while, that shame and guilt will lead me to behavior that will really pull me away from God even more.
Right. And it does, when you think about the goodness of God, when you think about just who he is, as you continue to mature, it's like, I don't want to be displeasing to you, God. This isn't even worth coming in between me and you.
Yeah.
Like, I know some relationships may sever, but between me and you, God, like, I need you here, you know? And I mean that so strongly because it's like, it's me and him, you know, it's this unity, this intimate space that we're finally at in God. And is it really worth it?
Yeah.
To respond and react in your emotional state, or like you said, emotional, what did you call it? Hijacking.
Yes. Emotional hijacking.
Emotional hijacking to come in between you and God. And also the flip side of that too, is to know that person is still God's child.
I know. And that's the hard one sometimes.
Right.
Because you be their behavior. It's like, you ain't no child of God. You just as fool as everybody else. I'm a fool with you like you fooling with me. Right? Yeah. Sometimes you have to rise above it. Because
you got to rise above it.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, we all have flaws. We all are sinners. Because if we weren't, Jesus wouldn't have came. So the big difference is because of his sacrifice, because of his blood, we get a second chance. And so many times we forget that because we can get so legalistic in that quote unquote perfect behavior. But it's like, okay, what does it look like when I'm allowing Christ's blood to cover me and to lead me? Like, is his sacrifice, am I nullifying it because I want to do what I want to do? Or am I in union with his sacrifice and walking around being re-cleansed, and in that appreciation of that cleansing, my behavior changes.
Right.
You know, that I get to appreciate, I get to be someone new because his blood cleansed me. And so if we look at it that way, it's like I've received this best gift. And usually when you receive a good gift on your birthday, if someone gave you a good gift, you hug them. You want to be so nice to them. You want to give back. I don't know how many birthdays I've been to and you gave them a gift and they come back and they write you a thank you card. You don't have to write me a thank you card. I wanted to encourage you. But sometimes the way that we respond to that blood is as if we're unwilling to give Christ a thank you card for his sacrifice.
Oh, Jesus. My God. That's a Selah moment. We're just going to sit and let that marinate to those that are listening. And that is, wow, that is powerful, Kamir. Have we really even thought about that his blood cleanses us and makes us new? And that it's us holding on when he has already forgiven it.
Yeah.
It's us holding on to those patterns and that behavior, but it's under the blood.
Yes. And not only are we holding on to it, but then we live in such a way that we are rejecting what that blood is doing because our ingratitude.
So listen, that's another Selah moment. So we're studying, a girlfriend and I are studying the spirit of rejection and all of that. And it's like, the challenge was, let's show appreciation to what God has done.
Right.
Appreciation for who he did bring into our lives to show, you know, love and support and affirmation and validation. And so are we grateful?
Yeah. 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 And God reminds me of that because I can walk around so much in my circumstances, so much in my desires, what I want, that I'm like, no, he's done something great. Let me take a step back from what I want and really appreciate what he's already given me and allow that to be the motivation to move forward because he's done so much.
And I want to leave a question out there too, for those listening, take a moment. Is what you really want what God wants? Because when you're a new creature, your will starts to decrease. If we're honest, your will starts to decrease. I'm quite sure me and Kamir, this is not what we envisioned for our lives. It's going to be 100 with that, right? We did not envision this for our lives. But when we said yes to the Lord, hallelujah, our will had to change for his will. And sometimes I think what we want could be fueled by the world, could be fueled by what we feel is God or what we feel is what we want. And can you imagine, think about it, you know, when you're, you know, those listening to really reflect on that question is because you ever go to a restaurant because everybody keeps talking about it. So you have this expectation that, oh my goodness, everybody loves it. And you get there and it is nasty. It's nasty. Like the service is terrible. Everybody putting 5 and 4 stars. And you like, that was not my experience. You wanted it so bad. My God, you wanted this thing, this life, whatever it is, so bad. And God's like, if you only knew.
Yeah.
If I would have given that to you,
yeah,
it wouldn't have been enough. We would have been ungrateful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We would have been ungrateful.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I've had a lot of those conversations because being in this area of life where I'm working towards encouraging others through their journeys, of course, there's things where you want to see happen a lot faster or you want to reach more people quicker. And for years, I wasted so much time. Well, not wasted, but I spent a lot of time wrestling with God and being on his timetable and being surrendered to his timetable. And being surrendered to you're leading me, not the other way around. And I remember one time I was having my meditation time with him. Every Sunday I'll spend meditation time with him. I just sit there and listen to scriptures and just calm my mind and spirit. And that one meditation time, he was like, look, I'm trying to lead you, but you won't let me lead you.
Right?
And I was like, ah.
Come on, tell it.
Oh, God.
Come on, tell it, come here. I'm telling you, we trying to help the people.
Yeah. And just going through that journey of just being surrendered, knowing what it means to rest in him, knowing what it means to hold his hand. Because I'll describe it to other people as, I said, I feel like I see a big candy store and God is right next to me. And then I get close to the candy store and I can't keep it back. So I'll run ahead and go for the candy. And God was like, just hold my hand. We're close. I'm walking you to the candy store, not for you to run off in it. Mm-hmm. And so I've had that conversation with him numerously, and just getting back to a place where it's like, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to hold his hand. And in the midst of that, of course, that journey where I'm wrestling, he's given me the opportunity to gain wisdom. He's given me an opportunity to be able to relate more to individuals because why? I've experienced that. So the things that I share with people definitely comes from a pure place because God exposed it in my life, in my journey.
And I thank you for bringing up the waiting season. Mm-hmm. I like to call it the process because it is literally the process of you dying. You're dying. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Picking up that cross and following him daily. Yeah. And so in that process of you waiting, you're so right. He's teaching us the areas in us that want to jump ahead of him. Right. Yeah. We are struggling to wait, to see the goodness in that and learning how to wait, because to be honest with you, okay, God, I'm waiting, but 20 years that went by. So imagine someone waiting 20, 30, 40 years, and he still says, wait on me. And you're like, but I have you waiting.
And this is a great spot for us to stop for this week's episode. I want you to come back next week as we delve into waiting on God in our journeys. Not only our healing journeys, but life itself. You do not want to miss the continuation of this podcast episode. Until then, enjoy the rest of your week.